Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
A new article published in the Journal of Emergency Nurses, JEN, identifies the implication for nurses' practice when treating a transgender person. Nobody wants to go to the emergency room for a God forbid emergency and feel like a freak show. And we're talking today with Ethan Cicero. He's a registered nurse. Welcome to the show, Ethan. Tell us a little bit about the transgender community and what's happening with them when they go to the emergency room, because, boy, it can sure send the nurses and any of the staff there into a tizzy, not quite sure what to do.
Hi, Melanie. Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it. I think what's important to really think about for the transgender population is, they're going to be seeking healthcare like any other group of people, but often others within the healthcare environment may not really understand what the transgender identity is and the implications of how do we best care for them, how do we approach them with communication to create a safe and inclusive space. So what I'm suggesting based on some literature finding is that often a transgender person, when they arrive, possibly their presentation or their legal identification may not match with their preferred name or preferred pronoun. So if you encounter a situation like that, it's just to ask the patient, how would you like to be referred to? What name should I use? Which pronouns do you prefer? And make note of it, because, again, it could be incongruent, but you always want to use their preferred name and their preferred pronoun.
That's a really, really great point, Ethan, because that's something that can be quite confusing. What if the records don't match up? What if they're going through changes, but they haven't updated certain medical records? What is a nurse to do? Which records do you believe? What they're telling you to use, or what's in? I mean, wouldn't there be some issues then with insurance and possibly medications, any of this stuff?
Definitely. That's a great question. And often, there could be a medical record that's already existing that may not line up with what you think the patient should be called or their name. And it's about identifying the patient, asking them, could your chart be under a different name? Could your insurance be listed under a different name? And the transgender individual is not going to try to hide or conceal this. They may say, yes, my name was listed as Ashley, but I go by Brandon now. So at least we can pull up the medical information, ensure that we have the right documentation, ensure we have the right patient, and create a safe environment, but also acknowledge that this person is transgender, and we do need to gather some additional information to best care for this person. It's about how we approach people, and it's something that's really important to establish when you're considering healthcare. It's a vulnerable situation to have to go to an emergency room and to really rely on others to take care of you. When you don't feel safe, you're not going to want to stay in an environment like that.
And that's so sad, and I feel bad for the person this study was about. They used a name, James, right? So it was not the real name. But how sad for them. What do you want hospitals and other nurses like yourself to do to create that safe, inclusive environment for the transgender community so they feel that safe and they can come into the emergency room if they've got a burn or anything, really?
I think what's really important is to ensure that your staff is educated about different transgender identities, that hospitals look at their policies and procedures and see, do they accommodate other types of individuals? Because while my study focused on the transgender population, you can really substitute any minority group that experiences stigma or marginalization in society and see how these same approaches could help you best care and create safe environments when they come into the hospital as well. And it's an unfortunate reality, but transgender individuals are being denied care based on their identity. They are being harassed and experiencing violence in hospital settings based on their transgender identity. And they have higher risks of poor health outcomes. So while the healthcare community can be a great asset and really beneficial for people's health, they can have the same effect in a negative way. So it's about how are we interacting with our patients? How are we creating safe environments, and how are we caring for them based on their anatomy and their behaviors, not necessarily based on identities?
Are you using this as a thesis, Ethan? How did you even decide? Because what an interesting topic and what an interesting study, and something that I'm sure is very underrated and underappreciated. People probably aren't realizing it, but now with the advent of more transgender people feeling more comfortable coming out and saying that this is what they're doing and going through these little changes, and even the hormones that they are taking during the process can mess with their body and make them think they need to go to the emergency room and get checked out because maybe they're having a bad reaction. So how did you even get involved in this?
I got involved in this when I was in nursing school at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and learned about an assessment that the federal government did to set up some health objectives. And they set lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender population as a priority. And I started to kind of look into this further and notice some discouraging statistics that I briefly went over about what's going on when transgender individuals are trying to access and utilize care. And I really wanted to know more. So I started looking into this phenomenon of what's actually going on and trying to get a deeper understanding. And now I'm a PhD student at Duke University in North Carolina, where I'm going to be focusing my dissertation on this as well. It's something that is starting to be studied. There are data out there, but it's about getting a deeper understanding so we really understand the phenomenon that's going on so we can propose some interventions and see how we could make some recommendations to make healthcare a safe and environment for not just the transgender population, but possibly any other minority group that could be experiencing similar inequalities.
What a great dissertation, and I bet that other grad students and even the doctors really will need to read your published things, and that it's going to maybe help to take up the arms to help. And as you say, this isn't just for transgender population. This could be for any minority population that feels, but specifically transgender, because we've got certain protocol. And you know about hospitals. I know about hospitals, and there's certain protocol for different sexes. And so a guy comes in, he's got a problem, something going on. They're going to treat him as a man with a man's weight and a man's, if they need to give him medications. But if now this person is transgendering to a woman, things are different. Maybe the weight is still the same, but the hormone levels are different, and of course that throws everything off. Give us your best advice in just the last minute here. What do you want the healthcare community to know about treating these people with the dignity that they deserve?
I believe the most important thing is to meet people where they are and ask clarifying questions, and to approach everyone with respect that you'd want to receive if you went into an emergency room or someone close in your family. It's about asking clarifying questions and also thinking about, am I asking these questions because I need to know this to care for them, or am I asking these questions because I'm curious? And it's about,
ooh, that's
when you're not sure, get some additional education on the topic.
And I think because of the curiosity too, maybe after you've treated this person and treated them well, maybe a curious question. It depends on the person, I suppose, whether or not they're going to be comfortable answering those questions. But if it's medical necessity, then yes, absolutely. And treat them as you would want to be treated. And that's the message for our end of the show today, because I think it's a great message. We all have to be tolerant and appreciative and love one another and treat others as you would like to be treated yourself. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.